after that conversation, I remember he texted me and said, like, I've blocked you on all social media, like, goodbye.
Oh.
And then called me and said, I regret it. Please let me follow you again.
Did you?
It was wild.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Finding Mr. Hyde, the podcast. I'm Allie, back with my co-host, Rourke. Rourke, how is it going today?
Happy New Year. It's 2022. I don't know. I feel very optimistic about 2022. I'm not really sure why in some ways, but I don't know. This weekend has been like really nice. I had a very good couple days and a really nice day today. And I feel very like peaceful and also a little excited. I think it'll be, I have good vibes. 2022 is giving me good vibes.
That's great. We are having another pod where we have a little bit of an energy mismatch, I think.
What's going on in your corner?
I do not have good vibes today.
Ugh, I'm sorry.
I want to preface all of this by saying that I am still processing the events of the last 24 hours, as okay. You know. And so I don't know yet. And you can leave this in. I don't know yet how much I'm going to feel comfortable sharing.
Okay.
And how I think I'm like, my feelings are like ever evolving.
Sure. That's, yeah.
Because it is like very recent.
Yeah.
So I spent New Year's Eve with the rower.
Mm-hmm.
On our last pod, I was talking about how I was going to ask him.
Yeah.
And I did indeed ask him, and it went great. If you listen to the Patreon, you can get the whole rundown of, you know, exactly what I said and, you know, et cetera. I also posted a video about it, and it went really well. We were going to go to my friend's apartment. She was hosting a small get-together. However, due to COVID, that got canceled. And so instead, the rower and I decided to cook dinner at his apartment.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Perfect cozy night in, as you said.
Yes. So exactly. It was great. We decided to do like fancy to casual. So we were both like, well, like we kind of want to be fancy because it's New Year's Eve, but like also we're cooking and it would be nice to be cozy. So I suggested that we start fancy and change into cozy.
Love that.
Yeah.
It's like a Beyonce transition.
Exactly. There's no reason why there can't be costume changes on this in this evening. So I handled appetizers and cocktails. He did entrees and wine, champagne. We drank.
Lovely.
Yeah. So that was great. He was wearing a tux.
That's very good commitment to the bit.
I loved it. I just like love a man who owns a tux. I think it is a very
totally.
Especially like I guess it would really depend on. You know, the types of events that you're going to. But like a lot of my friends have had black tie weddings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is a great investment personally.
To all the 3% of men out there.
Yes.
Invest in a tux.
Yes. And yeah. So anyway, so he has a tux and he wore it and he looked great. I wore like the sequin top and red leather skirt outfit that I had been planning to wear if we were going out.
Love.
And then so we like cooked dinner in that and then like cooked and ate dinner, appetizers, et cetera, in that. And then after dinner changed into our comfies. So I had brought like a leggings and a cozy sweater.
Perfect.
And yeah, we then like drank more cocktails. At one point we did a FaceTime with my friends that were supposed to be at the party.
Mm-hmm.
We had like a pre-midnight. It was like 11 or 11:30 pre-midnight FaceTime with a bunch of my friends.
Fantastic.
Yeah, super fun. His dog was there. So we were like hanging with her, watching all the New Year's Eve programming. Did you watch any of that, by the way?
No, I didn't. I heard that Andy Cohen was out of fucking pocket though.
So we actually switched it at – I guess it was 10 to Miley and Pete Davidson because we couldn't handle how awkward Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper were.
I just feel like every year they just make Anderson Cooper babysit some drunk person. It's so fucking funny.
I've
been really enjoying the TikTok clips.
it wasn't funny, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know what it was like to watch it in its entirety, but the TikTok clips are fucking incredible.
Yeah. Maybe we just like didn't hang on long enough, because I think a lot of the clips are from between 10 and midnight, which is after we had switched over to watch Miley and Pete.
Mm.
And because we were so like cringing, like secondhand embarrassment of how bad it was. At one point, David Arquette showed up dressed like Bozo the Clown.
Well, clowns are terrifying, period. So that's just not good.
But it was just like weird. Like, it wasn't funny. Sherry O'Terry, who I absolutely love from back in her SNL days, did this whole thing about like toilet roll covers. I don't know. It was just really fucking weird. So,
well, how was Miley and Pete?
We loved it. I mean, it was just, you know, music, and like it was less of like a bit.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, so we did that, and then the next morning, or really afternoon, because we were up really late, we just like stayed in. It was also super rainy on New Year's Day, which just felt like the best like couch day vibe. Mm-hmm. And so he cooked us brunch, and we watched college football. I ended up staying like all the way through the first game, and so I was dark when I got home, actually.
Oh, wow.
Which doesn't like – it's not saying that much in these times. Because I think it was 5
p.m. Sun is setting at 5 p.m.
Yeah, I'm like pretty sure it was 5 p.m. But like I stayed all the way through the 1 p.m. game. Nice. Yeah, and so the evening was wonderful. Like cooking brunch, eating, all that stuff was just amazing. I, however, decided that I wanted to have – let's call it an exploratory exclusivity conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So as you and I have talked about – there is that step of exclusivity before becoming boyfriend-girlfriend.
Right.
I, however, have never personally taken that step.
Yes.
Not
prefer
once.
To go full court press relationship vibes.
Yes. Like if I want to be – typically speaking, if I want to be exclusive with somebody, I want to be in a relationship with them. Like there has never been I recognize that it is a step. I'm not like denying that it is one. But for me, it has never been one that I wanted to take.
Totally understand.
So, and I used to think that it was really just one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never had this conversation before as a result, where I was going into it. Yeah. Like where I was going into it knowing that I wasn't ready to call him my boyfriend, but wanting to establish exclusivity.
Yeah.
And I was very confident that he would be on the same page.
Yeah.
Going into this conversation. And he was not.
I'm so sorry. I mean, I know what that feels like. I 100% know what that feels like. And I'm so sorry. It's such a disappointment from – because there is that expectation reality break where it's disappointment's the only word.
Yeah. And the conversation also was a little bit awkward because due to the fact that I've never had this – talk before, he thought I was asking to be in a relationship at first.
Okay.
Because the first thing that he said was that he's like not ready to be in a relationship, like to commit to a relationship, I believe is what he said.
Right.
So then I had to – go ahead.
I was going to say though, based on the outcome of the conversation, if you had started it at exclusivity, do you think it would have gone differently?
No, because we got to that. I was able to clarify – what I meant.
Yeah.
And it was still a no.
Right. And it's interesting because it reminds me a little bit of trivia in terms of it's a similar time frame of, or it's a similar logistical setup in that trivia was out of an engagement and I was his first person he went on a date with after deciding he was ready to date. And so something that I thought a lot about was how many bites at the apple is he going to want to have before he thinks, okay, it's worth getting into a serious relationship again. And so that's why I, as you know, kind of typically like to focus on one person at a time. But like, that's, for example, like why I kind of like kept swiping with trivia and ended up meeting the classmate. Because I was like, I don't know where he's going to be at. And like, I didn't really like him. Like I didn't like him the amount that you like the rower. So it's different, but yeah. So it's a tricky setup, I think, timing wise.
Yeah. And so going back to the conversation quickly, because I want to be clear that he was incredibly kind and during this conversation, and also quite reassuring while still sticking to his feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I mean by that is he reiterated, so he told me he's still talking to other people, which he has every right to be, get up to this conversation. We'd never spoken about this.
Right.
That he was still talking to other people. He said that none of them are as far along, or he didn't even talk about anybody in specific, but I know that we are the most far along.
Yeah.
Just given the timing. So he said he's not ready to commit to something right now, but he reiterated that he still feels the same way he did when we talked about what we were looking for on our second date, that mm-hmm. he sees long-term relationship potential with me.
Okay.
And those were his exact words. That's a quote.
Yeah.
So he did go out of his way to be reassuring in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been texting since normal. It hasn't felt weird. And it mm-hmm. wasn't weird. I purposely didn't do it right when I was leaving. I purposely did it around halftime of the game.
Yeah.
Because I knew I was staying for the whole game and I wanted there to be runway after the conversation in case it didn't go the way I thought it was going to.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want that to be the very last thing that happened and then I leave.
Yeah, I think that's wise.
So we were able to kind of reestablish some normalcy, get, you know, settle back into our groove a little bit after, and we acknowledged that it was kind of uncomfortable and but it has left me feeling unsettled and sad.
That's totally fair. Where are you at right now, do you think?
I think I really do believe him that he sees long-term relationship potential with me and that he wants to see that develop.
Mm-hmm.
I think what is tough, and this is impossible to know, is what you said about trivia, which is when will he feel – forget about how he feels about me, but is there some sort of arbitrary hurdle he needs to jump over or maybe milestone he needs to cross in order for him to feel like he's not just rushing into another relationship with the first person he went out with after.
Right.
And I'm not the first person because they've been broken up for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't living in the city and he was dating very casually. So right. I am the first person, like you said, with trivia, I'm the first person that he went out with the mindset that he was ready for a relationship.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so I doubt he has a number in his head. I doubt he's thought to himself, I should go out with five people or I should, you know, I doubt he's actually done something tangible like that.
Agreed.
But there's no way to know when he will, I don't know if I don't want to use the word realize because that indicates that his feelings are wrong and mine are right. But let's say that he and I have really great long-term relationship compatibility and that we mm-hmm. Should try that, right? I don't know when he will be at the point to accept that mm-hmm. as just very lucky that he happened to have met that person first.
Right, right.
And not, oh, am I only feeling this way because she is the first person that I liked after I took time off dating?
Right.
And am I feeling this way because she was the first person that I liked, or am I feeling this way because she's somebody that I actually can see a future with?
Yeah. I do think that's the key question. And I think just where I'm coming from as your friend, what I want for myself and for the person who's going to date my friends is I want them to be all aboard the X train, right?
Yeah.
I want the person
yeah.
who's going to be with me to be all aboard the Rourke train. I want the person who's going to be with you to be all aboard the Alley train. And so my feeling is, at what point will I feel like I will then have sort of either resentment towards him, frustration at myself, things like that about should I be then using this – like, will I look back and say, like, I should have re-engaged Bumble or, like, I should have gone with the matchmaker? Like, something like that. Yeah. Like, at what point – if he says to you 4 months down the line, I actually met somebody else and want to commit to them, like, will you be upset? About, I mean, not – obviously you'll be upset, but, like, will you be upset about those 4 months specifically?
4 months, fuck yeah, that's way too long. But I think – so I have already – gotten a little bit more active on the dating apps today. I'm not still like not fully into it, but I'm there. I'm present. I have decided that I definitely don't want to re-engage with the matchmaker and I don't foresee myself regretting that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to re-engage with her right now.
Yes.
I don't foresee myself regretting that decision because I don't think my heart is going to be in it right now.
Yeah.
And I don't want to waste matches. Where I –
that makes perfect sense to me.
I'm going to be going out with somebody unsure about whether I can be emotionally available to them.
Yes.
But the risk is way lower for a guy I meet on Bumble.
Yeah, 100%.
Where I could go out with a guy from Bumble and be like, oh, shit, actually.
Yeah, and I was going to say, if nothing else, this could just reinforce, like, the rower's really special. I want to see this through.
Yeah, and I – because maybe I'm being delusional – but I don't think that I like him more than he likes me. I mm-hmm. think I am more ready to make that mean that I am not open to other people than he is.
Yeah. No, that's a difference. That's a difference.
Yeah. And I think that – because for me, I've been actively looking for a long-term relationship for – the amount of time that he has been on that break, mm-hmm. more or less. Like, I broke up with the Oyster in summer 2020. He broke up with his ex, I think, early fall. So, like, our breakups were actually very similarly timed. Obviously, yeah. his was way more involved and, you know, traumatic than mine. But, like, I have been dating to meet somebody long term that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been completely dormant.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I meet somebody that I really like the way that I like him, I have the last 18 months of comparison to be yep. like, oh, no, this is actually a special thing.
Yep, totally.
He does not have that. And that doesn't mean I have to be okay with it.
Right.
Forever. But, like, I'm trying to sit in it a little bit. And, like, give him a little bit of space for that. How yeah, much space I'm going to be comfortable with. And by space, I really mean time.
Yeah.
I don't know yet. But, like, I also don't really have to know. Like, I don't have to decide now how long I'm going to be comfortable with it, you know?
Yeah. Some undescribable clock is running. We don't yes. know for how long.
But for both of us.
For a stopwatch has been hit as of yes. this conversation.
Like... yes. And yeah. And I don't know when it's going to ding. I have no idea. I think I just need to kind of keep a pulse on that.
Agreed.
With myself. I do feel really strongly that I want him to initiate our next date.
I was going to say that. I feel like really strongly about that as well.
Yeah. And it's not in like a playing games way, not in like a testing him way. Like, I just, he verbally reassured me that he wants to continue this to develop. And I want to see his actions line up with those words.
I completely agree because your feelings are crystal clear.
Yes.
He knows exactly where you stand and how interested and invested you are. And he now, to my mind, needs to show you that even though he's not there, you are on a continued journey. And the way that he can do that is by saying, I want to see you. When are you free?
Yeah. So, and you know, like we said, something bad could happen out of nowhere. Like, he could decide coming out of that conversation that, you know what, I actually feel too much pressure in this and I need to end it. He could realize, you know, go out with somebody next week and then realize, like, you know what, that was dumb. Like, yeah. I, you know, whatever. Like, anything could change at any time.
Or yeah, let it might him have not. A few shitty dates. Let's see how he feels.
Yeah, so I, you know, that's where I'm at with it. It doesn't feel great.
Yeah, I get it.
Oh, I've been like, it's been especially difficult to, I think I'm going to, well, I don't know. I honestly don't know. It's been especially difficult to edit my New Year's Eve date prep footage. It just feels like a very different me that made those videos than the me that is editing them, which I know you get.
Yeah, totally.
But the difference is the
time delay of our lives. Yes. This happens to us.
The difference being, in my case, I mean, technically you have a choice, obviously. But in my case, I like fully have the choice not to post them. Like there's maybe there's a little bit of expectation because people know I went on a date and I usually post about my dates. But like, it's not the weekly podcast that right. like, you know, it would be like a much bigger deal if you had been like, well, we're just not going to release that this week. Like,
yeah,
that would be a whole thing. I could very easily just decide not to post about this. Like just decide not to post that footage. I honestly, I haven't made that call yet. By the time the listeners are hearing this, I'm sure I will have because that would have been a very insane delay. I'm kind of leaning toward not.
Do what you want, girl.
The only reason is because obviously I'm very open about it in this forum. But the reason is because I would then have to – well, I wouldn't have to, but I would have to see the engagement on it.
And people – you know how your people are.
Oh, my people, I love you so, so much. They are very invested and they are so excited. And that's going to be really hard for me to see.
Yeah, totally.
And then they're going to want part two, which is essentially the stuff that I've just said.
Right.
And I don't really want to do that.
Yeah. I think that's a reasonable emotional self-preservation choice should you choose to make it.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are my updates, and that's pretty much it.
Very good. I had a first date.
Yes. I was just thinking about this morning that you told me you were going on a date on Thursday, and then I never got a follow-up, which like would I be correct in assuming that it was just meh if there's no follow-up on it?
So it happened today. It did not happen on Thursday.
I thought it was supposed to be on Thursday though.
It was, yeah. It was torrentially pouring on Thursday.
Oh.
And I just was like, can we take a literal rain check? I don't want to come out in this. Also because like most places are outdoor. Like I just didn't want to fuck with it.
You would have had to drive in it too, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so we got coffee this afternoon and will not be a second date, but not because he's not like – he's – a very nice guy, a great, great reintro for me into the dating scene. Just not the match.
Well, he wasn't geographically desirable anyway.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. The geography would have been like brutal. And so like I was sort of going in with like, this needs to be very good to justify the distance. And it was not. So, or it was fine. But
yeah.
Here we are.
Do you think he agrees?
I have not heard from him. So potentially he agrees, but who knows?
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And then I feel like I really shouldn't be talking about this on this forum. Maybe, you know what? We're going to save this. We're going to save this for Patreon, but we got to talk about.
Oh no.
What happened? No, it's fine. Oh, nothing bad. Like, it's just that like now that we're single again at the same time, I'm like, should I be doing something?
Because you were going to before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to hear about this. You're right that you should not talk about that in this forum.
But yeah, so first date aside, I have had I've like seen friends. I've cooked a lot this past weekend. I've walked a lot. My friend and I are holding each other accountable to sort of like small health goals, like drinking water, steps, stuff like that. Like nothing like weird or like cut car, like nothing like that, but just more like
things that are going to make you
general
feel good.
Sort of wellness stuff that we know make us feel better, but we let slip by the wayside when other things come into prior, like when other kind of fire drills go on. And so just we're kind of keeping each other accountable to remember that like we feel better when we do this stuff. And so I sent her a screenshot of my 7,500 steps earlier today. Nice.
Life
is good.
I want to commit to steps. Like it felt great to go on a walk today. It's about to drop 20 degrees tomorrow.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it's going to be 30 tomorrow.
Yikes.
So I may have picked a bad time to want to get my steps in.
Yeah. Well, you have your Peloton goal, right?
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know.
I don't know about that. I did do a really good job cleaning today.
Nice. Amazing.
I had that win. Yeah, my kitchen is totally, totally good.
Amazing.
I don't know about you, Erica, but I have always been a PMS girly. Like that week before I get my period, even though I don't actually get a period anymore because of my IUD, the week when I would get it, I have always had just hormones all over the place, cravings, it's cramps, just all sorts of stuff. And it's been so much easier to manage my PMS with Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth.
So one thing I really like about this company is so many health studies they don't reveal has only been done on men. So I love a company that is actually making products not only designed for women, but is also testing them with women. Makes a huge, huge difference. Taking the Hormone Harmony isn't just for like menopause. I feel like we hear hormones and people think like, oh, that's not for me. But it can work for all of us at any age. Whether you do still have those night sweats, right? You don't have to have menopause to be hot at night, all right? That's your girl all the time. Racing thoughts and low moods, maybe poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, or the occasional bloating or gas. Hormone Harmony can help you with all of these things.
Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And the beauty of those is they help the body adapt to any stressors, like those chaotic hormonal change that we're talking about, or any of those issues that you mentioned. The biggest benefit is just feeling like myself all the time and not having these like ups and downs.
If you're interested in getting something like this into your routine, you should definitely check them out. And we have a limited time deal for you. You can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com and just use the code FMH at checkout.
So I've talked a little bit on the pod about how I've been trying to extend my damp January into future months. And I have really been enjoying Recess mocktails as a way to have what feels like a fancy drink at home, but without the alcohol.
Yeah. And also it's nice to have something in your fridge that just has a little bit of flavor.
Totally.
And they're delicious. They're made with real fruit, sweetened with agave, and again, 0% alcohol. So just a nice, nice little flavorful drink that is a little play on our favorites here. They got a bunch of great flavors.
My personal favorite is the Recess Watermelon Mojito. I actually like to garnish it like it's a actual cocktail. Like I put it in a coupe glass, feeling all fancy, garnish it with a little sprig of mint. It is delicious.
And my favorite is the Recess Ginger Lime Mule. I'm a ginger gal. And what I love also, not too sweet. Perfect amount of just a little sweet treat.
They're absolutely delicious. And you can get 15% off Recess mocktails now at takearecess.com/FMH. So you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences. So,
well, should we get into weird or not and then breakup talk?
Yeah. Okay. So we made a critical error with this week's weird or not.
Oh, what happened?
So this week's weird or not was they have their read receipt turned on.
Yes.
However, the critical error that we made is that we did not specify what platform we were talking about. And the normalcy of having read receipts is vastly different on different communication platforms.
Yeah. Like I think it's the default on WhatsApp.
It's the default on WhatsApp. It's the default on Facebook Messenger. Oh. And a lot of people said that.
Oh, okay.
So, oops.
That governs my answer a little bit.
Yeah. So go into that knowing that, but like, go forth. What do you think?
So knowing that, I now think it's going to be not weird. I think
– what were you going to say before? I should have waited to tell you that.
Oh, it's okay. In an iMessage situation, I think it's weird because it's literally out of the norm. But it doesn't really bother me. I think it's like a little bit of a weird power move.
Yeah.
In a way of like – I mean, it's the definition of leaving you on red, right? Yes. And so I think that it can be a little – it has the power to mind fuck the person that you're texting. And so I don't love it. I do have my red receipts turned on for my mom. So like she knows when I've seen something and therefore am able to respond. Like she can be like,
yeah,
are you there? But if I haven't seen it, she like knows I don't have, I'm not responsible for responding. But okay, I'm going to say 30 weird, 70 not weird.
Even less weird. 25, 75.
Okay, close though.
That being said, I then asked a follow-up poll, and I've hid my story from you today, actually, because you didn't know about the follow-up.
I didn't see this.
Yeah, I hid it from you because I was worried that you would see the follow-up poll too late. I went and checked to see if you had looked at the weird or not yet, and it was much longer than you usually had take. And so,
yeah, I wasn't on the gram today at all.
Okay, so I asked a follow-up poll because I was seeing all of these answers of people that said, like, it's not weird, it's the default. And I realized that so many people were answering not from an iMessage perspective.
Mm-hmm.
They were answering from, like, WhatsApp, whatever. So I then asked a follow-up poll, do you have your read receipts on? And what do you think the split was on that?
Oh, I just saw it.
Damn it, Rourke. I told you I had a secret second poll, and that's the reason I hid my story from you. You fucking kidding? You went and looked immediately?
Yeah.
I literally said out loud, I had a second poll I didn't want you to see.
I didn't realize that the results were going to be what you didn't want me to see. That's shocking.
What would I not have wanted you to see?
I don't really know. I didn't think it through.
Jesus Christ. I was wondering what you were doing looking off the screen.
God. Look at your story.
God damn it. Okay. Well, what would you have thought the results were going to be?
I would have thought that it would have mirrored it, or at least been, it either would have mirrored, or that's actually not true though, because like you could think it's not weird and still not do it. So I would say like 40 no, 60 yes.
Yeah, I would have thought that it would be closer, but in fact, only 20% of the responders, I don't know the exact, I haven't checked it in a little bit, but it was 20-80 the last time I looked.
Yeah, that's what it is still.
Yeah. Only 20% of the responders said that they have theirs on, but so many people, and this could just be a bias in the people who respond to the question box, but so many people said it's the default. So I was surprised. I then asked, why? Why do you have them on? If you have them on, why do you have them on? And it was a mix of it's the default, but then it was a mix of accountability. So there were a lot of people saying, and this was the similar reason why people said it wasn't weird, like, I know I'm a bad texter. I turn them on so that I know that people know I've read something. And I then feel more accountable to reply to people, which is admirable. There was a large chunk of people who do it for a power play. That is not admirable.
Oh my God. That's so messed up.
Like people said things along the lines of like, I want someone to know if I'm not responding to them.
Uh-uh. I don't like that.
No, we don't like that at all. If there was one other group of people that they just said that they just like don't care, that they were like, it's just, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't like when other people have it on.
Same.
If there's somebody that is not going to immediately reply.
Totally agreed.
Like my mom has hers on. She replies immediately if she sees something.
Yeah.
So it does not bother me.
Yeah.
But I don't reply immediately when I read something, not because I'm playing a game, but like if I'm just doing something at that exact moment. And so like I don't want to do that to someone else because that would fuck with me.
Totally. Yeah. And I don't need another thing to think about.
No, I do not. Mm-mm. We are doing our second part of breakups talk today.
Yes.
So last week we talked to Dara about blindside breakups, you know, getting broken up with. And, you know, we talked about all of our experiences there. Today, we want to focus on – and then next week, we are talking with Amy Chan who wrote Breakup Bootcamp. And does her breakup bootcamps. I'm super excited to talk to her. But today, we wanted to focus on being the one to break up with someone.
Yes. Great.
Which, if I recall correctly, like when we first started the pod, you were talking about how you have almost always exclusively been the breaker-upper, right? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is would still be fair. It's only once now. But like I think mine is pretty split.
I mean, that it makes sense. Like, you'd, I don't know why, I just have it in my head that with when there are two people, your odds are 50-50 of being one or the other.
Yes. Somebody actually asked, so this is like, actually, I think like we'll just ask, answer this question up front instead of putting it at the end like I had it. Do you think, so a couple people asked, like, should I read into the fact that I'm always the one breaking up with people? Like, is there a takeaway that I should have from this? Is there something that you have from that?
It's funny. What's so odd is that, so like of my two most recent relationships before the classmate that where I was the one executing the breakup, my takeaway was I should have done this months ago. Mm. It was not like, and whereas like, I think sometimes a common factor can be the exact opposite, which is like breaking up with somebody before you get broken up with, or like pulling the trigger out of kind of fear or like something like that. Whereas for me, it was the literal opposite.
But it could be like when I broke up with the Oyster, I was thinking to myself, why did I ever start dating this guy? Right. And I know why, because he wasn't presenting himself in an authentic manner. Mm-hmm. But or maybe I wasn't asking the right questions, whatever. We don't have to dig into that today. But like if that was constantly happening, I wonder if I would be thinking like, why am I dating all of these people that I ultimately want to break up with?
Yes, for sure.
I mean, I don't know if we can answer that question, but
I mean, I will say though, that is both – that's a good fair question and largely why I started therapy, in that student and PowerPoint are incredibly different people, like really different. And so – and yet I did some of the same things that I do in relationships even though they were very different people. And so I wanted to figure out like, why are my processes like going wrong, even though I've now kind of tried this experiment on two very different variables. And so that is part of the question. But then also, as we've kind of joked before, in theory, until we get married, everyone else is a breakup. And it's just going to fucking happen. Like, I just don't know what to say. Like, if we're out there and we're dating, we're going to get broken up with and we're going to break up. Like, it just is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking back to my, like, thinking about times that I've been the breaker-upper in more, like, legitimate relationships, let's say. So we have the coach, which was the first time that I've – well, I broke up with my high school boyfriend, but, like, I don't think we can count that. Mm-hmm. The coach was my first, like, serious relationship, and he broke up with me first, and then the next day – asked to get back together. And then we did. And then I don't remember how many months later, not that many, 2 or 3 months later, I broke up with him. And he was like devastated about it, like begged me not to. So like that was really the first time that I had to like end things with somebody that it was really emotional.
Yeah.
For both of us. But then like after that, I didn't break up with somebody significant until the Oyster, I don't think. But I also didn't have like – because the chef cheated on me, traveled to Mexico. Technically, I was the one who ultimately ended things. But like I don't think I can really call that breaking up with somebody.
Right. What do you call ghosting?
Them breaking up with me.
Yeah, because I think – because I guess I don't like – so for example, the guy that bailed on game night and – like I could probably count that as somebody who broke up with me.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. There's love one. It. Count them up, baby.
Obviously, Waffles that I talked about last week, he broke up with me.
So good.
The divorced guy. I'm like trying to think of like the other people that I've – ASV obviously broke up with me. Who else? I'm like, that's it. Significantly anyway. Right. I broke up with the dentist. I did do that. And the resident broke up with me. The resident is the one I talked about last week. That was when I was just with Dara. That was my like – first adult relationship. So anyway, on that note though, like as we think about deciding to break up, I think like that's kind of the first part in the timeline, right? Of like,
yeah, I think this is really hard.
Yeah. Like, how do you know? I think the biggest overarching question here that we got a lot is, how do you know if your problems are breakup worthy or just normal relationship things that you can work through together?
Yep. I mean, that's what I thought about a lot leading up to PowerPoint, where I'm a big believer in there's like a psychological principle for this, in that it's almost like a mind-body connection thing, sort of. But like, for example, in speed dating, the person that rotates versus the person that stays seated, the person that rotates describes being more attracted to more people than the person who stays still. And it's because the physical act of approach tells your brain you are attracted to this person, because you only approach people that you're interested in.
That makes total sense. It's funny that you mentioned speed dating too, because we actually got – I got a DM today that I hopefully she went to the podcast suggestion form to talk about speed dating.
Oh, awesome.
So it's funny that you mentioned that.
Perfect. Dovetail. But so anyway, and so I really believe in the sort of like connection of – when you decide that you are committing to something, you are more likely to feel invested and see it through and know how to make things work and like kind of fight for something a little bit more. And so something that I struggled with a lot was, at what point do you say, love the one you're with? Everyone has difficulties and we're just navigating it like anybody else is. And then being like, no, this is legit unacceptable. It's really fucking hard. I didn't answer the question at all.
I dealt with this, I would say, the most with the dentist. Mm-hmm. Because with the coach, I was 100% sure, like, this is not my person. Like, he honestly, like, gave me the ick towards the end.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But he broke up with me first. And so I think, like, he cracked the window. And then that, like, I don't know how long it would have taken me to come to that realization.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I digress. With the oyster, it was like some very significant misaligned values and things that we wanted out of life.
Yes.
That were very clearly like, this is not the person that I want to do life with. But with the dentist, it was so difficult because nothing was wrong. He was an awesome guy, so good to me. We had a lot of fun together. And yet it just didn't feel like the thing.
Yeah.
I think the thing that pushed me in that scenario was that he was Canadian.
Mm.
Still is, I would assume. He was in dental residency here in the city.
Yeah.
And dental school. And he was going to be doing a dental residency for the following year after. I started dating him in his final year of dental school. He was going to be doing a dental residency here in the city for a year. And already basically like upon graduation, essentially, when you start your residency, you basically have to immediately start applying for your full-time job that you're going to have after the residency.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to like a medical school situation, but the residency is only a year. So it's like you don't have nearly as much time as you do when you're a medical resident.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was needing to make the decision to either stay in the US, which was not his original plan, or go back to Toronto and start a dental practice or working for a dental practice there, which was his plan the whole time.
Right.
And it became
very – that's a big fucking decision.
Yes. And I – realized under the weight of that decision that I did not want to be the reason he was staying in the US.
Yep.
Because totally I didn't that. Feel like he was going to be my long-term partner. Yeah.
Yeah. I think to more like directly advance an answer to the question, I think to me, the litmus test now is being with this person making me lose parts of myself? That to me is the definition of settling. It's not agreeing to tolerate things that bother you. That's going to fucking happen. It is actually having to lose parts of yourself. And that's what it was like with the student in a way. I want to focus on him a little bit because I think he was a very good guy, a very nice guy. And I – like he's somebody that I would have – if he and I could functionally stay friends, I would like set him up with a friend. I think he's a great guy. I would never set PowerPoint up with somebody.
Right. We don't feel that way about PowerPoint.
Yeah. There was just a misalignment where he said to me, and I think I've said this, that, you know, oh, like, well, once you have kids, you'll not work as much.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know what about me says that to you. And so when he and I would, and to kind of jump and to start answering another question, which I obviously want to hear what you think too, is the feeling of like, how do you not, to get to also Dara too, how do you not blindside somebody while also like sticking to your own guns? He and I had had the same fight several times, which was me saying to him, I am very afraid that I will not make you happy because what you say you want is not who I think I am.
Mm.
That is where every – like something else would kind of incite a disagreement and we would – it would always kind of end there where I'm like, you talk about this vision for the future. I don't think – I'm not the person you're describing there with you. I'm just not. And – but then you'd be like, no, like you're so amazing. You make me so happy. Da-da-da-da. And so – even though I think he was very shocked when the breakup came, we had been having that conversation for quite some time. And like, it was this real, we had had that fight actually right before it was so bizarre. We had this fight right before the breakup. And the way it started was I said that I was going to, I had fallen off like working out in the mornings. And I said to him, I want to restart doing early mornings.
Uh-huh.
And he got really upset by that and said, well, why? I'm looking ahead to when you're in Big Law and you're probably going to have to work late. And so that's going to cut into our evening time. And then you're going to have to go to bed early because you're going to want to wake up early to work out. And I'm just like wondering how I fit into this.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't. And also we were that also was 2 years away at that point.
I understand that if that's like an imminent thing that's happening, but that is a lot of, I mean, that's future casting.
Yes. And he always wanted to do these incredibly specific hypotheticals and like get me to answer. And I was really resistant to it because I was like, you've got to stop asking me these questions because that's not the reality we're in. And so like, I don't know what he would say if he felt blindsided by our breakup or not, but we had had that fight that ended the exact way I just described where I was like, if you want somebody to orient their schedule around you I can't do that. And is that a conversation? Is that bringing somebody in? I don't know. What do you think?
It sounds very similar to the lead up to my breakup with the oyster,
mm.
where I think he felt blindsided.
Yeah.
And honestly, I will say that I didn't even plan to break up with him the night that I did.
Mm.
Like we had a phone call that came after the breakup that where we, you know, said I called him and basically was like, just so you know, like we were broken up. And he was like, yeah, I figured.
Just to confirm.
Yeah, like you stormed out, but like I was breaking up with you, just so you know. But like I did not go into that day intending on breaking up with him. I had been thinking about it and wondering and like really critically thinking about whether our values were anywhere close to aligned enough to be long-term partners.
Mm-hmm.
But what you said really resonated with me in terms of every fight coming back to one central argument.
Yeah.
Which was our social justice, essentially, for me and him, and just our political differences. And it always came back to that, no matter if we started fighting about how I liked the city and he liked Connecticut, it always came back to that central misalignment.
Wild.
To me, felt very clear.
Yeah.
Like it felt very clear that every argument we were having – came back to us not being compatible people.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that that was clear to him.
Yeah. That's tricky. I mean, to me, I want to be with somebody where when we have, and as we talk about, this is not to say that things don't need reminding, or it's not saying that something is fixed after one conversation. But I think, like, I want to be with somebody where as that pattern emerges, we are both aware of it in some way.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, I want somebody with that EQ.
Well, also, I think that, like, I had determined through the course of all of those arguments that neither of us were going to budge on this central right. issue. I knew that I was not at my core, and I could tell from the way that he fought about it that he would not either. Mm-hmm. And that's fully his prerogative. He, you know, he can be as whatever. He can have whatever beliefs he wants to have.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel like something that we could work through.
Right.
Because I knew that I did not want to date somebody with that belief system. And I also knew that he was not going to change that belief system.
Yeah. Yeah. Then so, that's just like a central incompatibility.
Right. So I guess that kind of gets back to the how do you know if your problems are breakup worthy or just normal problems? Mm-hmm. Like that to me was I do not want to be with somebody who believes this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're breaking up.
What would you tell somebody to do who is having a great time in the present, but they can see that misalignment is going to come down the line? Do you think they need to break up now?
I mean, that's kind of like what you were saying with the student where he was like hypothetically in the future saying, I'm seeing this life
mm-hmm.
and I don't know where I fit in. And even though in the moment you're like, that's very far away from now, maybe there was something to that where yeah. maybe he should have been more critically thinking about like, I want this future with a person
mm-hmm.
and that is not what my current partner is telling me that they want.
Yeah.
And like we should talk about that. I think what can be tricky is that like that basically same thing happened with me in the oyster where like he saw a future where he lived in Connecticut with a stay-at-home mom mm-hmm. for a wife.
Right.
That was the model that he grew up with. That is what he wanted. And as we've talked about before, in terms of like division of labor, et cetera, like that can make a lot of sense for a lot of people.
Totally. If that's what you want, you should be able to seek that. No problem.
Yeah, go absolutely. And like you were saying, this might've been on the Patreon actually
it was.
That we talked about this recently. Yeah. And you were saying that like your mom like was really, you know, wanting to make that transition and like, you know, dedicate her part of the marriage to that aspect of it. Like there are a lot of people for whom that kind of partnership is what they want.
Mm-hmm.
It is not me. And yeah. However, I don't think that I was self-aware enough about that in the moment.
Mm.
Like I let myself get carried away, I think, by this like romanticized version of what he was presenting to me.
Mm.
So in that sense, he maybe is justified in saying he was blindsided on that particular thing.
Yeah.
Because I think I was letting myself run with this notion.
And that's relatable too. This when you're in a stage where you really like somebody or love somebody, you sort of start saying to yourself like, well, maybe I could have that life. Maybe that life is yes. beautiful. Maybe that life looks really good to me. And like, maybe I can make that work and you live that out because this person's so amazing and a life with them is what I want. And yep. that's actually fine. If like what you want, like what people want changes through the lifespan. And so like who the hell knows? And like, that was actually part of my objections to the hypotheticals where I was like, anything could change. Like,
yeah,
whatever. Anyway. Okay. Let's say you've decided these are breakup worthy problems.
We're doing it. We're breaking yeah. up.
The bottom line is it sucks to hurt somebody.
Yes.
Like I don't feel, even though I absolutely did the right thing in both of those, I did not feel joy in bringing down that information upon them.
Of course not.
I felt a lot of relief, but I did not feel happy. Do you think that is there any way to like what is a good breakup in terms of like timing, communication? Like what would you consider a good way to break up?
I don't know if there is a good way.
I agree.
There are bad ways.
Agreed.
But I don't know if there are any like, oh yeah, this is the gold standard of a breakup.
Yeah.
I think you have to accept that you're going to hurt the person.
Yes.
Like you just have that it's going to happen. I mean, unless they don't care about you, in which case like you shouldn't fucking care about breaking up with them.
Yeah. That's a big yikes.
But you have to accept you're going to hurt the person. And as long as you do it, like we talked about last week with Dara, as long as you do it in a kind and honest way, mm-hmm. you are not a bad person because you don't want to be with that person.
Correct.
Again, as long as you do it in a kind and honest way.
Yeah.
From a timing perspective, we got a lot of questions about this. Like, what if they're going through a hard time? What if there's a big life event coming up? You know, you and I have talked about holidays, like your Christmas Eve breakup that you've talked about before.
Yeah. Just by the way, I just want to talk about how I broke up with the student and PowerPoint in December, Christmas Eve being mm-hmm. the PowerPoint breakup. And the classmate breaking up with me in December means that, like, truly, if a relationship of mine survives December, we're fucking getting married. I've never done New Year's Eve with a man.
What? Wait a second. Never? You've never. Never. Wow.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a New Year's Eve kiss, like a romantic New Year's Eve, even if he wasn't like your boyfriend?
No.
What?
Yeah.
You've never kissed someone at midnight?
I've like my friend Mary like gave me a peck because she felt sad for me.
Perry's married.
Yeah.
It doesn't count. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I haven't done that many with boyfriends. The coach and I spent – I mean, I dated him for 2 years, so like obviously. I spent a New Year's with the chef right after I had taken him back before he did it again. Before he then – that was pre the Mexico cheating trip. I had like taken him back from his initial, you know, I don't know what I want situation.
Yeah.
And then that happened. And then obviously I just spent this New Year's Eve with the rower. I took a guy who doesn't even have a nickname because he doesn't deserve one to my best friend from college's New Year's Eve wedding.
We've talked about this guy.
Yeah. I haven't given him a nickname though, right?
No, I don't think you have.
No, he doesn't need one. He's the one who told people that he dumped me.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And my friends were like, bro, we know that didn't happen. We don't even know the story from her side. She's never once mentioned you to us.
Hilarious. But no, I accept that, like, so I've been broken up with on Valentine's Day. I broke up with someone on New Year's Eve. Like, or no, I'm sorry, Christmas Eve.
What? Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve. And so I actually think the only day that I would have been furious about somebody breaking up with me is like the night before the bar.
Yes.
Where like,
yes,
I need to be on my game because this is my fucking future. Fuck you. Like that would I would have been so pissed. But like a holiday, a whatever, like that to me, it's a wash. There's no good time. Screw it. As soon as you feel it, execute it, end it.
That's how I feel about it because I actually think it would have been worse. Like let's take the classmate as an example.
Yeah.
It was poor timing given that it was – I know your birthday had passed, but like you were about to do the birthday celebrations. It was about to be Christmas and then New Year's. But like personally, I would feel worse having celebrated my birthday and Christmas with somebody who I knew was going to break up with me. Like if he breaks up with me the week after Christmas, I know he was fucking thinking about it on Christmas.
Yes. And I mean, the reason PowerPoint happened on Christmas Eve was because he was supposed to be traveling on Christmas Eve day to meet me and my parents for Christmas. And I was like, you fucking cannot come. Like,
yeah,
God forbid you show up for this. And we like, this is gonna be a disaster. And so that's like, it was like imminent that I had to do it.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't think that matters. I agree with you though. If there is something, like people mentioned big life events, if this big life event is something that this person is going to like need to be at full mental capacity for and you could just wait until just after that because it's like tomorrow or something, right. Yeah, fucking wait.
Yeah.
The going through a hard time one I think is trickier because that's not a milestone.
Correct.
Like if somebody, you know – somebody DM'd me once, this was a while ago now, but somebody DM'd me once that their partner's parent had passed away mm-hmm. and they had been planning on breaking up with them. Mm-hmm. And like, basically they were saying, what do I do? And my initial gut of what I would have wanted was still the same advice of if you feel it, do it.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about like, if I had had a partner when my dad died, which I didn't, but if I had, I met ASV like,
right.
2 weeks later.
Yeah.
I would have been leaning on that person in a very significant way in my grief for support. Mm-hmm. And I think that would have made it even worse later.
Yes.
to not have that person, because when somebody is going through something really difficult, especially the loss of a loved one, they are building support systems that don't include that person.
Yes.
And if you are now woven into their support system and then you bounce, they are going to have to rebuild all over again without you.
Very well said. I completely agree with that.
Yeah. So I still think the advice pretty much always stands unless the person is taking a massive exam the next day. Do it when you feel it.
Yeah. If they're taking a professional exam that their entire future hinges on, please wait.
Please wait. Other than that, just fucking pull the ripcord.
Yeah. Is there any text script for a breakup?
Well, I feel like first we even get into the, like, how do you know what is the appropriate medium?
Oh, like, good point. Good point.
How do you know if it's okay, like, texting, phone call, or in person? Like, yeah. Or I guess FaceTime might be in there too, if you're long distance or something.
Yeah.
But like, when – maybe this is a better – easier question to answer. When is in-person required, or is it ever?
I think never. Text me. I don't give a fuck.
Text you?
Yeah. 100%.
That is wild. You want your long-term serious boyfriend of several years to text you that they want to break up.
Yeah, because if they're losing me, I don't give – like, there's no – like, I truly don't care.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, minimize your impact on me. Farewell.
Farewell, sir. Okay.
Like, I called PowerPoint, obviously, because it was time sensitive, as I've described.
Yes.
He is – the reason he delivered the PowerPoint is because he then asked for in-person closure.
Uh-huh.
And – which I granted.
Yes.
And obviously the classmate came over in person. Unnecessary. Yeah, because also, like, I don't – like, the classmate, for example, was like, can I give you a hug? I'm like, do you fucking need a hug? No, I'm good. Like, that's the thing. Like, I don't – you are out of my support system. You are like, I'm not going to lean on you for support. Like, you're the person hurting me, not helping me. I don't need you right now. I need my friends.
Yeah. I mentioned this to Dara when she and I talked last week that the resident, which was my first significant boyfriend and he broke up with me, that like he was my support system for a few days after the breakup until I realized this is not good for me.
Yeah.
I do not want someone to text me to break up with me.
Fair enough. Go ahead.
After a certain point, I think – okay, if you're thinking about – I think it is safe to assume that most people don't want their boyfriend – I'm going to put that caveat on it – or like partner, exclusive monogamous partner.
Yeah.
Most people are probably not going to want a text message breakup. I think that's probably fair. Safe.
Yeah.
I think the thing to think about when you're thinking about whether or not texting could be appropriate is like, what is your typical mode of communication? Mm-hmm. And like, when would you normally be seeing this person?
Yeah.
Because for example, the three-peat, he and I had been on 5 dates. We had never one time spoken on the phone.
Yeah.
He texted me to essentially break up with me. Obviously we weren't exclusive or anything like that, but to end things. Mm-hmm. And I felt that that was fully appropriate, even as a person who doesn't want to get broken up with by their boyfriend via text message, because we've never spoken on the phone and I didn't need to go on a 6th date with him to get broken up with.
Yes. Waste of your time.
Yes.
So,
but that brings into the question, let's say you're going to do it in person. Where do you break up with someone? Is there a better place?
Well, so I think that – so in our outline, it says how to break up with someone safely. If you are genuinely concerned about your safety, great time to not do it in person. You have
100%,
full permission to do this from a distance.
Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you are not afraid for your safety, then I am very pro doing this in the privacy of somebody's home where they can have an emotional reaction without an audience.
And I think it's better personally to do it at their home because then they do not have to leave.
Yes.
Like it was extremely – there was no way around it because the oyster was living in Connecticut and visiting me.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was how we saw each other. But like he then had to like pack up his things that he had brought to stay the night and leave while I just kind of like awkwardly stared at this person that I've just broken up with.
Yeah.
Versus, that's like, if brutal. You go Yeah, it was. Versus like if you go to their home, then you can just be like, okay, bye.
Yeah. Pat, pat. Good luck.
Yeah. Do not do it in public. Do not let somebody cry in the middle of Prospect Park and get offered chips by a stranger.
Yeah. I was in the PSA. Whole Foods parking lot when I had the conversation with PowerPoint.
Yeah, public is rough. I do think, although I don't want to get broken up via text message, that I would prefer a phone call to going somewhere to get broken up with.
For sure. For sure.
I would be okay with what the classmate did, not in the way – strictly the part where he came over. Just yes. That, just, yeah. Just that one logistical aspect totally. Of it.
Yeah,
I would fine. Be okay with that if somebody said like, hey, can I come by? And they did. And then they broke up with me.
Yeah.
But like, I don't want to like get ready for a date and then get broken up with.
Yeah. I would be pissed.
Yeah. Or, you know, perhaps have packed a picnic and get broken up with.
Say, just hypothetically speaking.
Hypothetically speaking, I don't want to pack a picnic and get broken up with future men. Just so you know. Another thing that came up a lot is how much detail do you owe somebody? How much specific do you owe somebody about why?
Yeah, I'm very, very pro general terms here.
I agree.
However, I have been pushed for specifics. And I did for what PowerPoint is a better example here because I got the impression that he was not going to – I remember I had two friends that I was texting like throughout. He behaved pretty erratically after the breakup where I became like afraid of my phone for about 4 days because it was like either I am devastated, like I am so sad, like how could you do this? Like I love you so much. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And then like you're a C word. Fuck you. Yeah. It was like,
oh my God.
Yeah. It was wild.
That's awful.
Yeah. I felt like I remember texting Anna, like, okay, this is the latest, like da 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 da. And yeah. I said, I was like, I don't think he's going to leave me alone until I tell him something real because he felt so, he was like, I'm so confused. And so I was like, well, maybe if I give him something concrete, I'll get him to back off.
Yeah.
And this is what's really, this is the calculus that makes, I think, it really impossible to know what to do here because I gave him some specifics. And he just said, like, well, here's how you're wrong. Like, that's not true. Like, you misunderstood. That's not a problem. Yeah. He just
gaslighting me during a breakup. Sounds good.
The best part, too, is after he delivered the PowerPoint and basically was like, so does this change anything? Because I just, like, dismantled your reason for breaking up. I was
this
like,
isn't a fucking research paper, like exactly. A dissertation.
I was like, no, I told you it wouldn't change anything and it didn't. Like, we're exactly where I knew we would be. Told ya. And I've told the story about his mom saying that I wouldn't pass the bar because I couldn't organize their lunch or like know where to pick her up for lunch. Proved you wrong.
Boom.
Yeah. He said in that moment, well, you're not going to be a very good lawyer because you're unable to integrate new information and change your perspective. I was like, I don't think you know what a lawyer does.
I don't think that's not what?
Yeah. Oh. Anyway, so I gave him specifics. He turned it into a debate of like factual allegations where I was like, we're never going to see this the same way. Like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah. I go back and forth on this because I think in some cases specifics can be helpful. Mm-hmm. Like if you don't think your futures align or if you think there is a values mismatch. Like I did lay that out for the oyster and I said like these fights that we are having about this core issue, they're not going anywhere and our opinions are too different on this and I can't date somebody who holds your opinion.
Yeah.
And that's when he told me good luck finding somebody as liberal as you.
Love it.
But like I did think that those specifics were relevant and helpful in that moment because I think it wasn't up for debate. Like,
right.
Yeah, he does hold that opinion and he can't dispute my lack of desire to be with someone who holds that opinion.
Right.
So nor could he dispute that he has the opinion. We fought about it all the fucking time.
Yeah. That's a perfect situation for it.
Yeah. But like I think if it's – so for example with the coach who I hopefully does not listen to this, with the coach, I did not tell him I get the ick when I'm around you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was not a necessary piece of information for him.
Yeah. No, you don't need to be mean.
Yeah. Or even just to say, like, I didn't even say anything about, like, I don't think that I feel attracted to you anymore or, like, anything. Like, I didn't say anything like that. I just said I want to break up.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't feel like this is the right thing. And I kept it very vague like that because I didn't think it would be helpful.
Yeah, totally.
I do think that there is some calculus here for the length of time you've been dating in terms of the reasons. You know, if you've been with somebody for like 7 years and you're engaged or something, hypothetically, I feel like that requires some more reasons than just like bye.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So, you know, there's gray here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, quickly, because I think we're going to focus a lot next week on moving forward.
Yes, agreed. That'll be the focus next week for sure.
Yeah, and like the aftermath of it. But one thing that I do think is important to talk about is something that you mentioned a little bit, sounds like was a struggle with PowerPoint, is setting boundaries after you break up with someone.
Yeah.
And like standing in your decision, especially if they are trying to get back together or constantly reaching out.
Yeah. I mean, I had to set different boundaries. So like I told you, I was like afraid of my phone for a few days. And then I was still on this trip with my parents that he had been supposed to come on. I was not coming back to LA for X amount of days, whatever. I told him at some point, I sent a message saying like, I hear you. I know where you're coming from. You know where I'm coming from. Nothing is going to change between – like nothing is going to change right now. Right. I'm asking that you respect my decision for space. I know you have things that you want to say regarding my decision to end this relationship. As I've committed to, I will see you in LA to hear you out on that. But you need to not contact me until then.
And did he respect that?
He did.
Okay.
He did.
What about after the in-person conversation?
So after that, there was an attempt on his part where he was like, I'm going to go to therapy. I'm going to. And so I have a friend who was dating somebody who he was friends with who told me, she was like, he was doing really well for a while where like he was in therapy. He like sort of made amends with things with friends that friends of his had similar issues that I did with some of his behaviors. And she was like, he was like doing very well. And then I think when he realized he wasn't going to get back with you, he like quit, like all of that ended.
Which tells you that it wasn't an authentic thing, that he actually wanted to improve himself. He was just doing it because he thought that it would impact your decision.
Yeah. I would actually say that I set much cleaner boundaries with the student where when I realized that he thought stepping back and being friends again would allow me to step forward again later and back into a relationship, I said to him, we need to give each other the space to – emotionally sort out where we're at and, you know, leave this like in the past and like let's like take some hard like cold turkey space. So that was like much clearer. PowerPoint just sort of like very similar sort of high like weird bifurcated response in that like he wanted to still spend New Year's Eve together.
What?
Yeah. He was like, well, do you think we could like still like watch a movie as friends on New Year's Eve? And I was like, no, I don't think that's a good idea. I'm not going to be doing that. And he's like, well, what are you doing instead? And I probably shouldn't have been honest. I was like, well, I might like hang out with my friend Dennis. And he goes, do you have a thing with him?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. And I was like, no, but like none of your business, like none of your business, but no.
But no. Yeah.
And I didn't end up. I had like, I watched Fast and Furious alone in my apartment. It was fucking blissful. But, And then after that conversation, I remember he texted me and said, like, I've blocked you on all social media, like, goodbye.
Oh.
And then called me and said, I regret it. Please let me follow you again.
Did you?
It was wild.
Did you let him follow you again?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm like, sure. Like, be a masochist. Look at my shit if you want. I don't care. He then did. He has not blocked me. I know that for a fact. And I haven't blocked him, but I'm private on my personal account, right. So he can't see anything.
Oh, he later unfollowed you asking to refollow you?
Yes. He then unfollowed me and that's been for good. And never have we spoken again.
And never have we spoken again, nor can he be in the same room as you apparently.
Exactly.
Anyway,
what about you?
Yeah.
HBU.
HBU? Question mark. I'm trying to think. I've like never really spoken to exes after we've broken up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm truly trying to think of an ex where we had any sorts of the conversations that you're talking about. Like, I guess the chef, but and then we got back together. But like, I haven't spoken, seen hide or tail of the oyster since he, well, since I we had that phone call a couple days after he left my apartment.
Yeah.
I keep wondering if he will inquire about all of the office supplies that he left. Like, I use his double monitors.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, because he – so he had a home office at his parents' house in Connecticut already. So when he left his apartment in the city to move to Connecticut, he had all of this home office equipment because he'd been working from home. It was COVID. And so he moved it to my place so that when he was at my place, he would have his whole setup because, you know –
makes sense.
Contracts and shit or whatever. Like, it just needed to be big, like the big screens. Yeah, it made total sense. But he never mentioned it when he left.
Love that for
and
you.
Then when we were on the phone, he was like, I guess you could just like keep all my shit in kind of like a very dismissive way. But I and did.
Like, yeah, I fucking will.
Yeah, I sold his chair because I didn't like it. But I use his like whole setup.
Nice.
He literally told me to keep it, but I kept expecting to hear from him to give it back.
Yeah.
And I never did.
The call never came.
The call never came. So anyway, so yeah, so I've never like really had much of that to be able to say, here's how I set a boundary.
Yeah. But, lucky.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Or people are just, when they're done with me, they're fucking done with me, you know?
I mean, the classmate's very done. We have not spoken.
Yeah.
Well. So.
But yeah, so I feel like we've answered a lot of good questions here.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I hope it's been helpful. I'm super excited to talk to Amy next week. Amy does a lot of work about – like a lot of her breakup boot camp is about breaking toxic dating patterns. Mm, and
that's great.
You know, moving forward from something that you know was bad for you.
Yeah.
And like, how do you do that?
Great. I love that.
And not repeat it. Which I think will be super helpful.
Totally agreed. All right. Well, that's fun.
Yeah. Well, we'll see everybody next week.
Yeah. All right. Have a good night.
Bye.